Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Men, find relief from BPH with a new Aquablation therapy from Baptist Memorial Hospital, North Mississippi. Embrace life again with the only real-time water jet treatment for men with BPH. Call 662-234-1448 and get better with Baptist.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
All right, welcome in late on this Thursday night, and Ole Miss, it's not over yet. The game is still going on. Ole Miss is dominating Duke at the moment. There's 7 minutes to go in the game. In fact, they had a chance to get off the field on fourth down. That really would have sealed a victory there. But instead, they're still playing defense with 6:49 to go. So we're going to talk about the Gator Bowl, though. Ole Miss finishes the season at 10-3. Jackson Dart breaks all kinds of records. He is one of only four SEC quarterbacks to throw for 12,000 yards in his career. Obviously broke the single season record for Ole Miss tonight. But not only that, I mean, there's a lot to get to with this game and this season, and I want you guys to contribute as well. I know it's late. I appreciate you being here on this edition, this post-game live, this last football post-game show of the season on the Rebel Report. Again, my name is Michael Borky. Glad that you're here. Don't forget to like, subscribe. Subscribe to the podcast feed if you have not already. Just search Rebel Report wherever you get them. And if you like what you hear, leave a rating and a review. And this edition of the podcast, and every edition of the podcast, is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. DJ Gregory has got you covered if anywhere in Mississippi. He's in Fulton, but if you're a small business owner and you need legal advice, or you're wanting to start a small business and you don't really know how to go about that, 662-397-9799 is the phone number. 662-397-9799. Also does personal injury. So if you've been personally injured, wake up tomorrow and call DJ Gregory at 662-397-9799. The Gregory Law Firm and DJ Gregory presenting the Rebel Report. So at this moment, I'll do the box score house cleaning thing like we always do, and then we'll get to your comments. At this moment, Ole Miss leads 45-7 in the game. And Jackson Dart, will start there. So far, I assume he's done playing, but they might let him roll out there again. Going into the game, they made it clear that he was going to go out on his own terms. Maybe Lane Kiffin, you know, is going to kind of force him to not play anymore. He's taken some hits tonight. He's played exceptionally well, and I don't know. We'll see. But right now, as of this recording, he's 26 of 34 for 335 and three touchdowns. And he was outstanding. He was absolutely outstanding tonight. Look, I know it's the Gator Bowl, and I know it's Duke and all that stuff. But this is, I mean, just a perfect way to go for a quarterback, you know. Okay, let me rephrase that. A perfect way to go would be winning a national championship. My point is to have this game and to play this well for his last game in an Ole Miss uniform, to break the records, to have 29 wins in 3 years as a quarterback. Just an outstanding way to end a really, really, really great career at Ole Miss. I mean, again, just outstanding tonight. Placed the ball well, ran the ball well, had probably the best throw of his career, rolling out left across his body. Deep, deep throw. Saw a couple of NFL scout guys notice that throw in particular. Probably the best throw of his career happened in the last game of his career. But he was outstanding tonight, and that's a really good way to end a final look for Ole Miss fans at Jackson Dart, the quarterback, to play this well on his way out the door. It is really cool. It's really fitting. I know this season is going to be filled with what if and things like that, but there's no denying that Jackson Dart came to Ole Miss and made Ole Miss football better as its quarterback over 3 years. There's no denying that. And I mean, played tough as hell, played through injuries, won big games, did a lot of really good things at Ole Miss. Said, yeah, I know the debate's going to come, especially in the offseason, like where his position is, and I'm sure a lot of people are doing it right now, in terms of all-time greats at Ole Miss. I don't know if we should do that debate tonight. Maybe that's something that we reserve for the offseason, but, I mean, he's a Mount Rushmore guy at Ole Miss for sure. I mean, just an outstanding career, and I really like the way he plays the game of football as Duke scores a kind of a garbage time touchdown there. So 45-14 will be the score. But a fitting way to end an outstanding career, playing as well as he did tonight. He'll be a legend forever at Ole Miss, and he should be. He really should be. And it was good to see him go out that way. Receiving, Caden Lee led the team in catches. Jordan Watkins had 111 yards receiving. That 51-yard pass from Dart, again, rolling out to his left, and that's 51 yards in the air. So that's 50 air yards rolling out to his left across his body, hit Watkins there. So he led the team in receiving with 111. Lee had 8 catches for 57 yards. Bentley had 4 catches for 30 yards. More on that in a second. Daquan Wright, he's going to be a star for Ole Miss next season. He quietly had an exceptional season at the tight end position for Ole Miss. Priestcorn had a trio of catches as well. Juice Wells had the long catch for a touchdown. Even Logan Diggs caught a catch out of the backfield for Ole Miss. Rushing, Bentley led the team in rushing, 14 carries, 70 yards, and a couple of touchdowns. That's 5 per carry. Dart added 41 himself. Pegues had a first down on the opening possession. And Ole Miss ran for 122 yards on 28 attempts. That's 4.5 per. So a fine day rushing as well. Trey Washington, really consistent player for Ole Miss. In his last game, leads the team in tackles. He was very good tonight. That defense was absolutely dominant. So here's some of the numbers for Duke. I know they just got a garbage touchdown, but Duke ran for 44 yards tonight on 1.9 per carry. 1.9 yards per carry. Duke's quarterback is talented. He had a nice night tonight, despite being under duress basically the entire game. I mean, basically the entire game, almost every snap, but he did well. He did some good things, and I was actually impressed with Bellin or Belin. It doesn't matter. He's not starting for Duke next year anyway. But I did actually like the way he played, and if he hits the portal, I feel like he would have somewhere to go to play if he didn't want to stick around at Duke. So Ole Miss gets the win. That's a couple of box score things. I do want to say, too, on top of Dart playing and playing well, kudos to whoever was involved in the decision-making for Ole Miss to have these players play. And not only play, but they played hard in basically the entire game. So whether it was just the Grove Collective or a combination of the Grove Collective and Kiffin and Golding and staff's culture that they've built and the character of the players or all of the above, somewhere in between, I think it's awesome. I really do think it's awesome in the era of opt-outs and bowls don't matter to have a situation where you have guys like Walter Nolan and Princely and Amos and Ivy, who was really good tonight, and Pegues, and all of these players that could have opted out. And I know I understand the backloaded part of the Grove Collective contracts, but some of these guys could have gotten an agent to give them money to not play. I promise you some of them could have. But to create a situation in which they had all of these guys play in the Gator Bowl, kudos to all of them. Everybody involved in the decision to allow that to happen. Ole Miss did not make a mockery out of their bowl game. There was one opt-out, and Trey Harris didn't play because he's hurt. And there goes Logan Diggs for a nice run up the middle. But kudos to all of them. Everybody involved in this. It was awesome to see this number of high caliber NFL players play in a quote unquote meaningless bowl game anyway. I enjoyed watching Walter Nolan play tonight and print all of these guys. I enjoyed watching all of them play tonight. And it was awesome to see that, frankly, in this era in which this just doesn't happen this way anymore. And, you know, it wasn't all perfect that you had that goofy fake field goal and on the opening possession. I mean, what the hell was that? But I don't want to beat this dead horse too much. I really don't, because this is a night in which Ole Miss won a football game. So talking about the games in which they did not is not fair to you, the listener. I don't think you want to hear it too much. But since the season has concluded, and yes, they have won 10 games for the third time in 4 years, 39 wins over 4 years. It's an outstanding run, and I don't think the program's going to fall off a cliff. I think that you're witnessing sustainability within a football program. Look at their recruiting class and who they've added so far in the portal. It's a top three portal class, and they're not done adding there either. I think that you're witnessing sustainability right now. 39 wins over 4 years in this era is the definition of sustainability. So I don't want to spend too much time on the negative on a night that a season concludes like that, but I put it on Twitter, and I can't help but watch Ulysses Bentley play and think that that guy couldn't have helped this team. Am I saying that he's a 25 carry workhorse feature back? Well, of course not, and that's never been what anybody has described him as being. But for example, that little, so it was a third down and Dart's in trouble and he's rolling out to his left and he kind of floats one over the head of a defender into Bentley's hands. And he does this little stutter step move and makes a guy miss and gets a first down. And in that moment, I'm thinking no running back on that team could have done that. None of them could have. So is he a Heisman contender? No. Is he a workhorse feature back? No. But when you watch him play and when you watch him run, there was nobody on that team that could have done what he did. Tonight and against Mississippi State and even against LSU in Georgia, that guy could have helped this team. And I know it's beating a dead horse. I know it's been talked about a lot. And I know they have offensive line issues. And I know there's other things with the running back room that are problems besides not playing Ulysses Bentley. But to try to tell people and convince people that their best option at the position was not giving him touches. Instead, it was converting a wide receiver that's not particularly good, with all due respect to the player, and multiple walk-ons over that guy is an insult to all of your intelligence, is what it is. I don't know why that situation unfolded the way it did, but if you're going to try to tell me that they didn't play him because of offensive line issues, I'm not buying what you're selling there, because again, it would be different if they played running backs in front of him. They did not. Converted wide receiver, walk-ons, that's who got touches instead of him. And you cannot watch him play even against this Duke team and tell me that that guy could not have helped them with more opportunities to do so. It does not make sense. It never will make sense. You're never going to get a real answer, but it's malpractice. It's obvious. All of you have eyes. You see that that was their best, especially after Parrish got hurt. That was by far their best option at the position, and they chose other things that make less sense than that guy getting touches. Is he perfect? No. Is he a 20 carry a game guy? There goes Diggs again. Is he a 20 carry a game guy? No, he's not those things. Could he have helped this team with more opportunities instead of what they did at the position? Absolutely, he could have. And him and what he did tonight is another example of nobody else on that team could have done what he did tonight. Nobody at that position. I'm going to put it to bed after this. I won't talk about it anymore. But I do think that you guys are – some people disagree with this. That's totally fine. I think you guys are owed an answer. You're not going to get one, but I think you're owed an answer. I think you shouldn't let it go because it's mismanagement, and there was too much invested into that team to have something like that happen. So there you go. That's it. But overall, good night, dominating night. Does this mean that Ole Miss should have made the playoff? Of course not. This is a Duke team without their quarterback and their starting running back. I don't know how much closer this game would have actually been with those two guys. If we're being totally honest, Ole Miss is significantly more athletic, a significantly better football team, as Jackson Dart's going to throw another touchdown pass, a long one to Watkins. So I guess Dart's about to go over 400 yards passing tonight. How long was that? 70 yards. Yep, he's going to go over 400 yards passing tonight. Lane Kiffin clearly is making a point with this game. He's clearly making a point by not putting in Austin Simmons, and they kept their defense starters in late, that they wanted to dominate this game and show people that they belonged in the playoff. Does this mean they did? No, because of Duke's opt-outs and other things. Should Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss and you guys use this to shape your narratives. Absolutely, you should. Looking like this is going to allow a lot of justification for the way Lane Kiffin acted, especially on social media over the last couple of weeks. So 52-14, the score now in this game. But clearly they wanted to make a point and completely dominated this game against a 9-win Duke team and to kind of show everybody that they think that they belonged. So we'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. That's Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. Thankful to have them and Priority One Bank back for another year. If you guys want to be a part of this, if you have a business and you want to be a part of this, send me an email. Borky@supertalk.fm is how you do it. There's a reason Priority One Bank and Advantage Business Systems are coming back, because this works. If you want to reach out to DJ Gregory and ask him, he'll tell you that this works. If you want to be a part of it, I've got one more slot available, frankly, is all I have. But you can have your business a part of this. I can prove to you that it works, so check it out. But glad to have Priority One Bank and Advantage Business Systems back with us for another year. To the comments we go. Thanks for all your hard work this football season. Appreciate you and the content. Appreciate you, Craig. You're awesome, man. Thank you. Big basketball game this weekend. It's a huge, huge, huge game for Ole Miss this weekend. They can really – is Duke about to return this back for a touchdown? Oh, they are. Duke returned the kick back for a touchdown. So 52-21 is what it's going to be now. Now Lane's going to be mad and put Dart back in and throw the ball around and try to go score again. Anyway, but yeah, it's really big. I mean, Ole Miss can really they have a couple of opportunities in these first four games to get some wins to start building that resume. The magic number is 8. Get to 8-10, and they're making the tournament. I think the path gets murky without a home win over Georgia and that. So, say hottie toddy, proud of this team and the way they finished says a lot about the culture and the leaders of this team. Yeah, it does, right? I mean, I would say half-empty stadium. It's not even a half-empty stadium. It's quarter full. It's Duke. It's Ole Miss blocks the extra point, and they're going to return it back for 2, aren't they? Oh, no, he gets tackled by the kicker. He gets tackled by the kicker, kind of. That's funny. So 52-20 now, going to be the final score, it seems. But, yeah, it's an empty stadium. They obviously didn't make the playoff, and yet the team was totally intact, and they played sharp and executed from the jump and completely dominated this game from start to finish. That absolutely does speak to attitude and culture and things like that, for sure. Sup, Lom? Glad to see you, man. Glad I started early. These announcers were getting hard to listen to. Pete Golding didn't end well at Alabama and constant playoff talk while missing the big moments on the call. Yeah, I mean, I guess Alabama fans didn't like Pete Golding, but I wonder if they would like to have him back. I wonder. Pete Golding did an excellent coaching job this season. Just outstanding. It's almost as if he's really good, and Alabama fans had completely and totally unrealistic expectations of a defensive coordinator in an era that leads to giving up more points. But if you look at Pete Golding's time at Alabama and you look at all of the stats compared to the rest of college football, they were still elite-level defenses. It's almost as if he's really good at his job and the greatest college football coach of all time kept him employed for a reason. So who was left out of the playoff again? Because 2 of the 3 teams who said they were left out couldn't even win their bowl games, which you'd assume they'd want to win to prove a point. Well, Ari Wasserman's been on this, and he's spot on. Alabama was the wrong team for SEC people to be promoting as the team that should have made the playoff. Ole Miss's resume was better than Alabama's. South Carolina's resume was better than Alabama's. But Alabama, because of history based on a coach that wasn't there anymore, or history that was made by a coach that wasn't there anymore, they got the benefit of the doubt in that argument. But when you really look at Ole Miss's resume and Alabama's resume, Ole Miss's resume was better than that of Alabama's. They should have been the one in that discussion as opposed to Alabama. And Wasserman, I think, is spot on when it comes to that. Kiffin should have played Simmons at least in the fourth quarter. Hopefully he has a true spring practice with a real spring game. I understand. Well, I wanted to see Austin Simmons tonight. I did, but he's actually coming in right now with a minute left. But look, he's got a full offseason to get ready. They're not opening with USC anymore. They're opening with Georgia State. I very clearly wanted to break records for Jackson, and you want him to go out on his own terms however he wants to. Austin Simmons is going to get plenty of time to get ready for 2025. And a quarter and a half against Duke in a blowout is not going to make or break his preparedness for the 2025 season. So I wanted to see him too. I'm not downplaying your thought on that. I wanted to see him tonight. And I mean, I'm looking at my iPad right now, seeing if they let him sling it, which he's handing it off right now. So unlikely, but they've got plenty of time to get him ready. They don't appear to be too concerned about his willingness to be prepared. And the quarter and a half that he could have played tonight's not going to make or break his preparedness. So they let Juice change his number midseason. Where his jersey sales that low? You know, what cracks me up though is look at what happens when you get Juice Wells the ball and quick hitters in space. Now, look, I know he didn't catch the ball particularly well this season. And he had a drop tonight, too. But that was more what he is built for as opposed to just throwing vertical into coverage with him. That slant and run is what they should have been doing with him all season. Even though they didn't make the playoff, it's still good for Jackson to end his time at Ole Miss with a win. I will say that. Yeah. I mean, we talked about it. Simmons just threw a beautiful pass, by the way. If you guys are still watching this, that's just excellent. Yeah, he's going to be very good. And that ended the game, too, by the way. But just an excellent pass there from Austin Simmons. He's got talent. He certainly has that. But, yeah, look, the season's a disappointment. This team should have made the playoff. They should have made the playoff, and they did not. But ending with 10 wins again, and again, 39 over 4 years is something that we've talked about a lot lately. The program is sustaining. It's in good shape. They now enter the offseason with some momentum. They won the Egg Bowl. They won their bowl game and looked dominant doing it. You've got this exciting young quarterback that you can sell to people. Austin Simmons is really exciting. I imagine that you have a fan base that's frustrated, but also I think willing to continue to buy in to what Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss is doing. At least they should be. There's a lot to look forward to after a dominating win like this and another double-digit win season, I think. Why not play the young guys? Is he trying to get them to hit the portal? No, probably. I think it's clear, D, that Lane Kiffin wanted to make a point and to dominate. I think that's obvious. And two, part of me wonders if you play the young guys and they look good, their price goes up. But they did, especially on the defensive line, you got Franklin and Echols in there. They could have played more younger guys, for sure. But they're certainly not trying to get them to hit the transfer portal. I think they were trying to make a point tonight. Walter Nolan deserves to be in the conversation for all-time greats at Ole Miss. Yeah. Yeah. And especially, Bo, because of, I mean, the narratives about him. We've talked about this before, but he's playing in the Gator Bowl tonight. He could have opted out and gotten money. He could have gotten some help to cover the missing Grove Collective payment if he wanted to. But not only did he play, but he played well again tonight. And he played hurt throughout the course of the season and was dominant on top of it all. But man, there was so much just talk and narrative about him going into this season. And maybe it was true. It could have been true. He sure as hell didn't play like it. Just an absolutely dominating season. The best defensive – I don't have the historical component like other people do. I moved to Mississippi in the fall of 2010. That was the most dominating season from a defensive lineman I've seen in an Ole Miss uniform to this point. Maybe there were better ones before. Sam Williams had an exceptional season at Ole Miss. You could argue those two. Robert Kimdichie was not what Walter Nolan was this season. True dominance in this game. Feels like Kiffin doesn't want much tape on Simmons, and there already is. Could be something to that. They do open with Georgia. If they open with USC, that'd be a little bit different, but completely different vibe with the coaching staff and the game doesn't matter, kind of like the first four non-conference games. Yeah, I use the word insulting on Twitter because, man, the stuff that we talked about during the season, getting the ball out of the quarterback's hands faster to alleviate issues on the offensive line, getting the tight ends more involved, getting Bentley involved, and all of those things either didn't happen or, you know, the conversation was around why that doesn't make sense and things like that. And look, again, I know it's Duke. I know it's the Gator Bowl, but they did all of the things that people have been talking about and questioning. Why don't they do that? Why aren't they getting the ball out of Dart's hands and into Juice Wells faster? Why are they not using the tight ends more? Why are they not involving Bentley? Why are they using walk-ons and backup wide receivers instead of this guy that clearly can do some things that nobody else at the position can do? And they do all those things tonight. It was the what-if bowl for Ole Miss tonight. You know, Kiffin was being tongue-in-cheek about Dart requesting a waiver, but how long until players start to challenge the four-year eligibility rule in court? It's coming soon, this offseason. The Pavia thing opened up doors for that. For sure. Golding isn't just good because of coaching. He's a great recruiter as well. Absolutely. Yeah, there's both of those things. I know the SEC is having a bad postseason, but the ACC should be relegated to group of five. Brutal, right? So 1-10 now in the postseason, including the playoffs, and the one win for the ACC is Syracuse over Washington State, who was without their coach and 25 players. They had the worst record against the other Power Four conferences, which, by the way, it's only the Power Two now. But still, they had the worst record among them. Awful, awful for the ACC. You're satisfied? They did prove a point. The follow-up to that was, nah, that's Cope. The offensive staff needs changes badly. Yes, I don't think a performance against Duke just erases the struggles that they had, especially in the second halves of their three losses in which they combined for one touchdown in those three games. There are still issues offensively despite their dominating performance tonight. There needs to be some kind of material change, whether it's coaching, whether it's scheme. That's for the $10 million guy to figure out, but yeah, tonight doesn't erase their offensive deficiencies that they had this season. That last play by Kiffin is filthy. You love it. It's pretty diabolical. It is pretty diabolical, but man, it was it's a pretty throw. It was a very, very pretty throw. There is just so much to like about the future at the quarterback position. And apparently, as I'm reading right now, apparently the announcers did not like that they threw the ball with Simmons there late, but whatever. Oh, you guys got to see this picture of Walter Nolan sipping on a coffee. I got to show this to you. Oh my gosh, this is so funny. Let's see, share screen, right? That's what I have to do. Okay, I think this is what I have to do. Yep, okay. Walter Nolan just hanging out, sipping on coffee on the sidelines. Oh man, that's funny. That's funny. Walter Nolan, coffee guy. Good to know. You saw Kim Dichi pancake alignment on Alabama in 2014. I saw Walter Nolan do that basically every week, man. Yeah. I'm not downplaying what you said, but I think that Walter Nolan is everything that people thought Robert Kim Dichi could be. Now, Kim Dichi had moments, right? And he was doubled and tripled a lot. Like, he was a physical freak, but he didn't. I don't think he did what you saw there. Compartmentalizes the Bentley deal. Yeah, I talked about it early, and it's just, you know, it is beating a dead horse. I know, but I do think that you guys shouldn't let that go. That's just my opinion. I don't think you should let that go. But that's just me. Lee is so underrated. Yeah, he's going to be a guy that is going to be very little talked about this offseason in SEC circles. And you're going to look up next season and he's going to have 1,200 yards receiving. I mean, just runs good routes and catches the football. And frankly, he's good. He's really good after the catch, despite his size. I mean, it seems like he's always falling forward. Like, it's like he knows how to take hits, right? Where I'm really impressed with his entire game. And yeah, again, he'll be that guy this offseason that is not getting talked about. And just simply not getting talked about enough. And he's going to have a monster season. Say Simmons has gained over 4 inches in height since he got to Ole Miss. He was Tua size when he got here. I'll take your word for it. I'm sure he's grown some. He's young. You can't forget about how young he is. But I am really looking forward to the spring and those kind of things centered around. And it's not taking away from Jackson, right? It can be so easy to forget the good that you had when you talk about what you've got coming up, right? You had 3 great years of quarterback play, followed by 2 years of great quarterback play. I mean, going from Matt Corral to Jackson Dart is just it's outstanding. And the way they played the game is fun, right? The tough, kind of hard-nosed, especially Matt Corral had like that really that real edge, but Dart played with that edge as well. So when you talk about the future, it kind of feels like you're immediately dismissing the past, and I don't think that's the best thing to do either. But when you have new quarterback, an offseason in football just becomes so much more exciting. Again, with all due respect to what they've had before, but last offseason you knew Jackson Dart was going to be your quarterback. It's the familiarity leads to not as much intrigue about the most important position on the field. Now you're going to get that kind of that shot in the arm of exciting young quarterback again. So you say great win for the Rebs. Certainly a dominating one for sure. Point proven. Say thanks for a great season. Always enjoyed the shows. Thank you, Bo. Thank you, man. I'm really appreciative of you. A lot of you and the handful of others that have been here from the jump. You guys are awesome. We are going to do basketball content, though. We are. I've got a baby's birthday party to go to on Saturday, but we're going to do basketball stuff as well, especially if the team, you know, keeps being in position for the NCAA tournament. We're going to do some extra stuff around basketball too. So say the future is bright at a handful of spots. Not condoning that last touchdown, but man, Jackson's your quarterback. The guy loves us. He helped us win more games than any other Ole Miss quarterback. Season's a disappointment, but man, they're close. Almost there. You appreciate everything Dart gave to Ole Miss, but you would have liked to see him play meaningful snaps today. Talking about Austin Simmons, of course. Caden Lee will be Elijah Moore 2.0 next year. We don't talk enough about how special Elijah Moore's season was. SEC competition only and broke records in a reduced schedule plus an opt-out. I mean, played in eight games, right? Because opted out of the LSU game and didn't play in the bowl game. Right? Isn't that what happened? Either way, his numbers that season were unbelievable. I feel like Kiffin needs a 9-win season so the fan base feels Hugh freezed, but at the same time, new quarterback, but they kept singing his praises. Rebecca, I'm going to be honest. I have no idea what you're trying to say there. I appreciate you being here, though. Simmons is going to be the quarterback, no question. Absolutely not. Absolutely not that there's a question. There's absolutely no question in that Austin Simmons is going to be the quarterback for Ole Miss. Yeah, that's their portal recruiting strategy or lack of success tells you that. I mean, he's absolutely going to be the starter next year. Wish they would have played Simmons after halftime. I understand that. Besides your boy 19, 22 is going to be a beast. Yeah, I wanted to see more of Diggs. Looks like he's still getting back into game shape. I don't think that was his ceiling. You know what I mean? Ran okay, though. Missed the start of the show, but it's always a highlight. Yeah, I did start early tonight. I know a lot of you were going to watch the game to the end, but anyway. You say, miss me with the basketball. Go Rebs. Yeah, I hate that sport. Well, I appreciate you being here. Just scroll past the basketball videos then. We will continue to talk football as always, but I think that there's a real chance that this team is playing meaningful games in late February into March. So if that's the case, we're going to talk about it. Will Logan Diggs be back next year? Yes, he will. Yes, he will. I still think that they need to add in the portal. They've been trying and they're going to continue to try. I think that they definitely need to add at the position because right now it's Diggs who's still wearing that knee brace, a true freshman, a guy that only has 100 career yards rushing and a walk-on. That's their running back room next year. They need to add one more via portal. That touchdown to Watkins is a perfect way to end his career. Pretty fitting. Did the State fans enjoy the game? There were a couple in my mentions. Here, I'll read you a DM that one of them sent me randomly because this is what people do with their Thursday nights. This is from Adam, who says, do you know who had the easiest schedule in the SEC this year? I tell you, Ole Miss. So, you know, I appreciate his contribution to my direct messages. I don't have enough crypto bots in there already, so I needed that to lift my spirits. Diggs seemed to have a minor limp from the start. Yeah, I did not look 100%. And part of me wonders if, I mean, it's been a year. But now he gets to have a full off season of everything, you know. Only watched a couple of basketball games, but man, they are fun to watch. There is nothing in sports, in my opinion, even more so than in football, there's nothing more intoxicating in sports than a college basketball run in the NCAA tournament. There is, in my opinion, there's nothing more intoxicating than that. Playing those late February home games with arenas that are packed to the point where it looks like the court is small because of how many people are in the arena, and you have those environments, and then you're looking at the net and bracketology, and then you watch on Selection Sunday and your team gets in and they win that first game. That is infectious, man. It really is. Oh, I see now. You say you just mean how Hugh Freeze would win big one week, then lose a game he shouldn't next week. Feel like the fans' funding will get frustrated if 2025 underachieves. That's something that we'll have to wait and see on. Setting expectations for 2025. I do like the schedule. I think it sets up okay. I mean, it's basically the same schedule, just flip-flopped, right? They have 8 home games, Washington State. Austin Simmons is going to get thrown into the fire early with a week 2 trip to Kentucky. But it depends on how they close in the portal before we set expectations for 25. What do I think they really need to concentrate on in the portal? Defensive backs. They need secondary help. They need a running back. They need secondary help. Offensive line always, but man, there's just not that many good ones in the portal right now. I mean, that's kind of the theme of this year's portal is player retention for a lot of schools is going well, it seems. There's not as many high-quality players in the trenches in the portal, it seems, than there was a year ago. I think schools are more desperate because the stuff you hear about the dollar amounts being spent on average to below average linemen is kind of nuts, but they're the only ones that are available and you need linemen. So I feel like the talent's a little bit lesser this year, but defensive backs, they need a running back. They need a backup quarterback or somebody in the quarterback room. So they really need a defensive tackle or two. Don't trust a bunch of young guys to be SEC ready. Here's the thing, though. At some point, you got to play them. At some point, you've recruited them. They were in last year's recruiting class. So next year, you've got redshirt freshmen or true sophomores. You need to be ready to play. They had 4 blue chip defensive linemen in last year's recruiting class. It's time for those guys to play. And you've got Xavier Harris returning as well. That's a big help. It's time for them to play. What's the point of recruiting high school guys if you're not going to play them? Say 10-2 is the goal again. The goal, sure, but realistic expectations are different than the goal, right? The goal is to make the playoff. But I don't think at this moment it's a playoff or bust conversation about this team when you're breaking in a new young quarterback and replacing as much as they're replacing. It's going to be a different conversation this offseason. So, anyway. 8-4. Yeah, something. Well, we'll see how the portal closes, but I think that's about right. Stats won't show it, but Cam Franklin was going full blast. Looked good. Did look good. The second they put in that young group of defensive linemen, they were getting pressure. I really like how Cam Franklin looked. He looks like Jared Ivey. If you're not really paying attention, you think that's Ivey on the field. You're going to dream of Leonard, the keeper, 1st and 10, despite the Ole Miss game tonight. Yeah. You guys need to be prepared for national champion Notre Dame, by the way. What are the expectations for next year? I mean, what needs to happen for everyone to be disappointed again? Let's wait until after the spring. I know that's tough because the first thing that we want to talk about is, you know, what's next? What's next? What's next? What should we expect from next year? It's just we don't know who's going to be on the team yet. And until we do, there's no way of realistically setting those expectations. But anyway, I hate to do this, but guys, I'm tired. It's late. I know there's a lot of you in here, but I got to get to bed. You guys are the best. We will be live after the basketball game. It'll be much shorter than this, but we're going to do something after the basketball game for sure on Saturday, one way or the other, because it's here. So why the heck not? And then, of course, we'll be live for the usual stream on Sunday night. So Ole Miss finishes 10-3. The third double-digit win season in 4 years with a dominating win over Duke in the Gator Bowl. and Jackson Dart goes out a winner, which is fitting for his time at Ole Miss. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and all that good stuff. And I will talk to you again after the basketball game on Saturday. Talk to you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.